Well, good morning, everybody. Really great to see you. We've just starting this series. If one of the leaflets are over there, if you didn't get one last week, on the Holy Spirit. And what a great series to be doing over these next weeks and probably months, actually, or even years. And we're looking at just the aspects of intimacy, holiness, and faith. You can see an introduction there, and that's basically saying what we as OCF stand for, what we believe about the Holy Spirit. So it's there, and just get one of those if you haven't got one. And there's verses on the back you can look up. I think one or two of those, if you check them, might not be the right verses. So come back and let us know, because I've looked at them, and one or two don't quite fit in. So it might be a typing error there, but we'll... I'm not blaming you, Chris, by the way. No, that's the man over here. Yeah. But anyway, don't worry about that. Yeah, so this week, I mean, Mike started last week and just gave an introduction to it, and we listened to Tyler Stanton, just gave this sort of small 8-minute introduction. I think you need to listen to that a few times. I certainly struggled with the language, trying to sort of listen to it, because he speaks very, very fast, and you miss it. So you need to listen to it 2 or 3 times to pick up everything he's actually saying. But in that leaflet that we've got to give you there, there's a lot of what he does say is there in just bullet point form. But have a look at it. But Mike did mention last week about our stories. He said it would be good if people just told a little bit about their story. So I'm just going to start with a little bit about my story. Some of you probably know it, some of you probably don't. So I'm just going to just go for it anyway, just briefly, because we don't want to be here all day. But I grew up, personally, I grew up in a Christian home. And what year was I born, Jonathan? 50. Correct. Yeah, 1950, yeah. I thought you were going to say 70 there. But yeah, 1950, and I attended Salem Tabernacle Assemblies of God Church in Liverpool. It's no longer there. It was a Pentecostal church, and I was there with my mum and dad from as long as I can remember. And we were there, and it was really part of our life. So I knew all about the Holy Spirit. I saw its manifestation on a regular basis through the gifts of the Spirit regularly, and we saw all sorts of things happening in the church. I didn't really understand a lot of what was happening, but I saw that something was happening. Strange things were happening, but it was God, and as you grow older, you know that. And I think I shared a few weeks ago about what I saw when I was about 8 or 9 in the Philharmonic Hall, where just people were getting healed, people were getting saved, and it was just went on for about 6 weeks, and I just remember there's a young lad about 8 or 9 just seeing amazing things which just stick with you, and you see what God can do. So obviously I came then to my teenage years and really then had to make a few decisions, because when you go to school and you see what you're dealing with there, you've got to say, well, you know, Jesus, am I actually going to follow you or not? And so I'm not sure exactly, probably when I was about 2 or 3, I gave my life to the Lord. I remember my mum praying with me every night, and you'd say, Jesus, come into my heart. But it had to come to a point where you have to do it personally. And you have to do that individually. Each one of us here, we need to do that. If you haven't already done it, I think we all have. You need to say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want to live for you. And so at that teenage age, probably 12, 13, I needed to come to that point. And needed to decide to put my faith into action. Because it's okay having a faith, but what are you going to do with it? You need to put it into action. So in the church, there was 3 lads. We were all about the same age. And we formed a gospel group. It was the 60s, just early 60s. The Beatles were just coming out, Jerry and the Pacemakers, all these pop groups. And Liverpool was buzzing with music. But not only was it buzzing with pop music, it was also buzzing with Christian music. So we formed a group. We called ourselves the Gospel Rhythms. That's what we were called. And we went around loads of different places, just singing and it was so many opportunities. God was certainly on the move in Liverpool then. There was Christian coffee bars. There was openings for outreach, there was outreach events happening, there was open airs, there was crusades, so many opportunities for us to get out there and play. And the pastor we had in the church would often just come to you and say, Dave, you're speaking in the open air next week, get ready. Or he'd say to you, I want you to be speaking at next week's service we're having, and just dropped you right in it. I don't know how some of you would feel about that if we did that today, but I really thank that guy for just doing that with me, because you just had to go for it. That's what you were doing, and you had to do it. And it really built something into you of trusting in God, and that yes, you can speak out in my name. So as a group of lads, we went around lots of different places. And it was about 1967, a guy called Captain Weaver from the Church Army had a crusade and a mission in Liverpool, and we were singing at it. And I met somebody there called Chris, who's here. And she was brought along from school by a girl called June. And June brought about, I don't know, half a dozen girls from the school. And I think most of them came to know the Lord, and many more as well. And revival was happening. It was in a great time. And so that's where my story began. And that would be about 67, and I could keep on going and going and going. But I saw many things happen, many miracles happen, many provisions happen. I remember once we were going to play in Birmingham, and we needed to move all the equipment down, and we didn't have a van because we used to go around in cars. But we needed this van to take all the equipment, so what are we going to do? So we said, well, we'd hire one. But we didn't have any money. How are we going to hire a van? So we said, well, we're just going to hire it anyway. So we booked the van for about 2 weeks in advance. And we still didn't know. I think it was about 15 and 6 to hire the van. Do you know what that is in money? It's about 75 pence. But so what are we going to do? And you know, when we went to pick the van up, we had no money. And the guy said, oh, it's okay. He said, this van's, it's been paid for. Wow. How that happened, we don't know. I don't know who paid for it. Might have been my mum. I've no idea. Probably was. But we said, Lord, thank you. You've answered prayer. And that was just a small thing. But God did so many things at that time. Do you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit was something I grew up with. And it was mentioned all the time. And we, in those days, we had something called waiting meetings. I don't know if you've ever heard of those things. But we used to have special waiting meetings where people would just come together and just wait for the Holy Spirit. We could probably do with a few more of them. But just wait for the Holy Spirit. And I went to loads and loads. And the church then, the Assemblies of God, believed that you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you spoke in tongues. I think they've slightly changed that now. I don't think they quite go with that. And I don't personally go with that anymore. But it was something there that was taught, that was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And so I went to loads of these waiting meetings. And, you know, I don't know and I can't tell you when I actually received the Holy Spirit. But I do definitely know I definitely had it and I did, whether I spoke in tongues or not. But at that time, yes, it was there. And it just was part of what we did. And it happened. And you know, if you've got the Holy Spirit within you, you know whether you've spoken in tongues or not. I would say that it's good if you can speak in tongues because it's a heavenly language. It's not something to be afraid of. It's a heavenly language that you just, again, as I said there before, you can't express what you want to in your own language, but you can just reach out and speak to God. I'm just going to show a little video clip now, which I think we've got. This is Jay John. Some of you know Jay John, and it's only a minute long. So just watch this and...
This is the incredible thing. His Spirit living in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow, wait a minute. The same? Yeah, the same in here? The same, yes, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, oh my word, and it can raise Jesus from the dead, wow. There's a lot in here. Yet, therefore, I am capable. Therefore, you are capable. Therefore, everything is possible. Everything. If you've got God's Holy Spirit, everything is possible. Miracles are possible. Everything is possible because His Spirit is living in us.
Play it again. Will it go?
His Spirit living in us. This is the incredible thing. His Spirit living in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow, wait a minute. The same? Yeah, the same in here? The same, yes. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in us, oh my word, and it can raise Jesus from the dead, wow, there's a lot in here. Yeah, therefore,
Have we got it? Have we got it? Have I got it? That's why I played it twice. I played it about half a dozen times because I need to hear it over and over again. God's Spirit living in us, it just wows you. It's unbelievable. He's a friend. Jesus is a friend of mine. Romans 8 verse 11 says this, and you know it because he just quoted it. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead in me and in you. It's just beyond us, isn't it? I've quoted this verse already, John 7:38. Out of your belly, not a very word we use very often, but I love it because it's the original. Out of your belly, some of us have got bigger ones than others. Mine's getting a bit bigger. I can feel it rocking here a little bit. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Beyond our understanding. And you know, I'm in an intimate, personal relationship with Almighty God. Just say that to yourself. I'm in an intimate, personal. Nobody's got a relationship with God like you. He knows you. The hairs of your head, I've just had mine shortened. The hairs of your head are numbered. Unbelievable. An old song says this. He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Another old hymn says this, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. See, it's partnership. It's togetherness in step with each other. Jesus is a friend, the scripture says, who sticks closer than a brother. I haven't got a brother. I've got a sister. And I'm sorry to say that I only spoke to my sister last week, and that's the first time I'd spoken to her since before Christmas. It's not a close relationship. Yet we talk, and it's as if you've never been apart. But I think some of us are living in those estranged sort of situations where we're in brothers and sisters, but we rarely, rarely see them. Jesus isn't like that. He's a friend who sticks, yeah, closer than a brother. Yeah, he's there all the time, constantly for us. Tyler Staton said this, do you have a planned and intentional time of communing with the Holy Spirit? Does that overspill into spontaneous communion with God throughout the day? It's got to be planned. It's got to be intentional. Whatever works for you, but it needs to be intentional. We've got to say, yes, I'm going to do it. Yeah. How many times have I said I'm going to do something and then something takes my distraction and forgotten all about it? What was I going to do? I'd go upstairs sometimes. What did I come up here for? Forgotten. I have to go back downstairs again, get my head together and say, oh, yes, I meant that. And, you know, we can be very often like that with God, that we're not intentional. We've got to be intentional. Our prayer, our Bible reading, our fellowship. We've got to say, yes, I'm going to do it. It's got to be habitual. And, you know, sometimes habits can be bad, but there's some really good habits. And good habits are good to get into. If we're going to develop this friendship, if we want to keep this friendship hot, active, we've got to get into regular daily habits. You know, I think Tom it was, where's Tom? He's not here, he's gone out. A few months ago, he said, it's a good habit to get into is before you get out of bed, just invite the Holy Spirit to be with you that day. And I've been doing that, or trying to do it every morning. Before I get out of bed, just welcome the Holy Spirit and say, God, I don't know what you've got for me today, but whatever it is, I just want to be in your will. I want to be in your way, not in your way, but in your way, following you. Yeah, sometimes we do get in the way. I don't want to be in your way. And it's good to do that. And it's also good to do it last thing at night as well. I don't know if you follow Tom's devotionals, but there's 2 minute silences before the devotional and 2 minutes after. Again, that's something I try to practice. So in the morning, do his devotional, 2 minute silence, and then another 2 minute silence. And the same thing at night. Just get into those habits of developing that close relationship with Jesus. It works. It's a 24/7 relationship. It's not just a 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock on a Sunday morning relationship. It's a 24/7. Now, I use my mobile phone quite a lot. And we're all on mobile phones. Everywhere you go, everyone's got them, haven't they? But let's make good use of it. And so on my mobile phone, I have lots of reminders that just flag up a verse of scripture or flag up a quote, flag up something. So throughout the day, they just, remind me. So if I'm just going off track a little bit, bang, something will just shoot up and remind me. Yeah? If I go to bed late at night or don't go to bed late at night and the telly's on, I have a verse that comes up and says, stop. Yeah? Because I don't want to be seeing that. And that's not easy. Not easy, is it? I know sometimes, you know, me and Chris, we want to watch something. We like watching dramas and things like that. But we just put something on. We don't know what it's all about. We just put it on. And after about 5 minutes, we just look at each other and say, do we want to watch this? We don't want to watch it. You know, we've got to be careful, haven't we? But, you know, garbage in, garbage out. I wasn't going to say that, but I've just said it because it's important. Yeah? We've got to be so careful. I don't know what works for you, but whatever it does to develop that friendship with the Holy Spirit in your life, do it. Whatever you need. If you need someone else to help you, if you need someone else just to say, I'm on your case, yeah, to support you and help you, it's important. Matthew 6, 33, we know this one. Seek ye first. How many times do we seek God? About three times down the line. And we say, well, I better go to God. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest will follow. That's my translation. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the rest will follow. It will. I don't care what it is. If you put God first, everything else comes into order. No matter what it is, put God first in everything. Your time, your talent, your job, your business, put God first, and everything else will fall into place. We need to align ourselves to God's will. And we only find God's will by spending time with him. But Lord, what are you saying here? What do you want me to do there? And a good friend would advise you and say, I don't think that's a good idea. Don't think you should be doing that. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. I don't need someone to tell me if something's wrong. If I'm watching something, I don't need someone to tell me, Dave, this is not good. Switch it off. Or if I'm listening to something, I don't need someone to tell me, Dave, that's no good. Yeah, I just know. Unfortunately, we can't really get away from it because it's just we're bombarded. We're not monks. God doesn't want us to be a monk or a nun. We've got to be in the world, but we're not of the world. We've got a different perspective, a different attitude. But you don't have to be far away, do you, before you hear just someone sounding off. Blasphemy, language is just atrocious, isn't it? But we don't need to be part of it. We're different. We need to align ourselves with his will. Because his ways are not our ways. And intimacy with the Holy Spirit brings us revelation. It brings us guidance and direction for our lives. And that's just so valuable. Over the years, I can just look back and see the hand of God upon my life. The way he's just moved us and brought us to Ormsk. We'd never have been here, but God just opened a miraculous way for us to be here, to live here. I haven't got time to tell you the story, but so many times we've seen the hand of God just reveal his purpose and reveal his way. And it's so important that we stick close to him to get that direction for jobs and careers. Whatever you're planning to go, put God at the center of it. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says this, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, things God has prepared for those who love him. We ain't seen nothing yet. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. God will reveal things to us that he doesn't reveal to anybody else by his Spirit. He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you the way. Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Next verse. But we have the mind of Christ. As J. John was saying there, the Holy Spirit is living in us. We have the mind of Christ. What's God preparing for you today? What's God preparing for me today as an individual? What's he preparing? What's he got for us that I haven't seen, I haven't heard about, that I haven't even conceived, but God's prepared for me? What is it? I don't know. What's he got for us as a church? Isn't it exciting to be part of God's church, to see what God is doing? And God is doing amazing, amazing things all over the world, but he's also doing it here in the Northwest region. Some of us have been listening to the Bishop of Lancaster, Jill Duff, her name is. Search it out on YouTube. I couldn't believe it to hear a Church of England bishop talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about the move of God, talking about just unbelievable. God is on the move. Hallelujah. Don't get hung up with the politicians. Get hung up with what God is saying. He knows the truth as a church. And let's pray, come Holy Spirit, come. I want more, don't you? And I've known the Holy Spirit a long, long time, but I haven't scratched the surface, really. I want more. I want more. I want more of you, Jesus, than I've ever had before. Do you want more? Do you want closer friendship? I do. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you're our friend today. Lord, I thank you that you're my friend. I can't believe it, that you want to be friends with me. That before the foundation of the world, you chose me and said, Dave, I want you in my kingdom. And each one of us can say that. God chose me before the foundation of the world. Some of us came late in life to that realization. I came as a child, but it doesn't matter when we come. It's the presence of God in our lives that just makes the difference. And Lord, we want to be a kingdom changing this world, a kingdom of people, Lord, who walk about with your Holy Spirit within us, transforming lives around about us, in our workplaces, Lord, in our community, Lord, amongst our family and friends, Lord, to show the love of Jesus, to show there's a hope in the world, that you are the hope of the world. To show, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord Jesus, come Holy Spirit. We want more of you. We want more of you. We're going to worship now, and as we do, I don't know how we're going to go or what's going to happen, but if you just feel today that you haven't really got enough.